I'm going to be talking about my career, my journey into cybersecurity, technology, how I got into technology in general, because I have some interesting things around that I have not really spoke about in the past. So that's going to be quite interesting to talk about. But for those of you who don't know me, my pseudonym is Nox or Nox Cyber. However, you may know me as on LinkedIn as JJ. I've been in security for roughly around 4 years now, but I've been in technology for much longer. So my journey into technology was quite an interesting one. So I wasn't actually educated. I was homeschooled for quite a lot. So I messed around with computers quite a lot because my dad was actually a Unix engineer. And which is quite interesting because he taught me most things I know about computers now. However, when I was at the age of about seven, Yahoo was the prevalent search engine then. And when you're a kid, you're very curious. I searched out about how to use my dial-up modem to hack. I'm showing my age there, but I learned how to kind of mess around with my dial-up modem and make international calls, which would charge the other caller. And I was sat there just doing it as a prank all the time. And I got a big slap on the wrist from my parents when they found out when I was doing it. So my passion for technology grew from then. At the age of about 13, I became quite curious again, and I got tied up with some of the wrong kind of people. I was doing some very naughty things on the internet. I was doing stuff like defacing websites and DDoSing. Again, I, you know, have very much regretted that. However, it did kind of lead me on to my next phase, which for me, it kind of pushed me towards joining the forces. So around 2011, I decided I'm going to join the forces. And I managed to get into the Royal Signals. This was actually the first time I actually went to anything called a school. So I went to the Royal School of Signals. And there I learned about technology. I learned about network communications, satellite communications, all of the good stuff. And then I unfortunately got discharged because of an injury. And I then moved on to... it was quite a boring role. I moved into being a first line support analyst at Lockheed Martin. It was a very weird environment. It's one of those environments where everyone's really really military. And that's coming from a guy that was in the military, but they were too military for me. It was quite an interesting place to work. I didn't enjoy it, so I left. And this is where my kind of journey to cybersecurity began. Because while I was working in Lockheed Martin, and I don't know if anyone recalls, but in 2017, there was the big WannaCry attack. And when the WannaCry attack took place, they needed somebody from the support desk to kind of pick up the slack and try and make sure all the machines that are patched, because there's lots of machines that we had, like remote users back then. They needed to come in and had to make sure that the machines were patched. And as I was searching for the relevant patches for these machines, I was coming across cybersecurity blogs, and I was starting to learn that this is actually a real kind of tangible career. I didn't know back then that hacking was a career. So I dived into it. And I started to learn more about it, and I started to get quite friendly with local recruiters. When I left Lockheed Martin, I had kind of done it quite hastily. I kind of just said, like, look, I'm leaving, but I didn't have any backup. I was like, oh, okay, what do I do next? So I talked to my local recruiter, and he said, oh, well, I have a graduate role, but it's a SOC analyst graduate role. You don't have a degree. So for me, I was just like, could I at least try? Could you put me forward? He said, look, Joe, I'll put you forward, but I don't think you're going to get it on the basis that you don't have a degree. I was hanging on to my phone like, I really want that call. I really want that call. I still remember I was sitting on the beach with my phone in my hand because I was expecting a call from the recruiter. And the recruiter called and said, look, they want to bring you in, but you're going to have extra stages. In your interview stage. And I said, oh, okay. So I went to my first interview, and they sat me down and they gave me a computer and they said, can you write an email to this executive who's not technical and try and resolve this problem. So what they're trying to test for is your soft skills. So I written an email and they said, oh, yeah, it's very, very good. They didn't give me too much feedback. About 3 or 4 days later, I got another phone call and they said, you did really well, but we want to bring you in for another 2 interviews. So they brought me in for this interview and the CTO sat in the chair and he started grilling me. He was sort of throwing all these questions at me, all these technical questions. I was doing really good. And then I remember at one stage I messed up on the question and I was just like, oh, no, I've not got the job now. They were quite blunt about everything. And I felt, you know, I've done really bad here. I don't think they're going to hire me. But that same day, they called me and offered me the job. Now, at this point, I didn't really have any certifications. I didn't have Security Plus. I didn't have anything. The only certification I did have was a BTEC in technology. So I sat there at the desk and they went, here's a SIM tool, monitor it. And I was just like, oh, God, what do I do? So it was like trial by fire, learn security quick as you can on the job. It was a very interesting scenario. That's when I started spending all my evenings learning Network Plus. I still remember sitting there with a notepad and pen, doing subnetting by hand for hours and hours and hours just to get used to it, just to find out that I didn't actually really need it because we have subnet calculators. It was just bought for a test. And then I moved to Carnival, so Carnival Cruise Lines. That was really interesting because it was very unusual for somebody to move from the T1 SOC to T2 kind of SOC work in less than a year, so to speak. It was less than a year and with no certifications. And that role at Carnival was possibly the hardest role because I had the responsibility of taking charge of a lot of the patching, taking charge of a lot of the implementation of new processes. I was on the change control board. So there was a lot more responsibility. And I will admit, I winged a lot of it. And I'm safe to say that I've winged quite a lot of my career in security. But it's not without doing my own research, without my own studying. So it does play a part to, if you think you can do something, just go ahead and just do it because, you know, the worst that can happen is you just get a little bit embarrassed. But at the end of the day, you've got a nice warm bed to go home to, wake up, tomorrow's a new day, and just crack on. And that's the kind of attitude that I had throughout my career. So I went from T1 to T2 within the space of a year. And unfortunately, COVID came along, as we all know, and it said, you know, it said no to your job. It said, you know, job gone. So I was made redundant. That's when I found, very quickly, I found a new kind of role as a cybersecurity engineer. That was more around pen testing. So I'd done about 6 months of pen testing there. I think I'd done six infrastructure pen tests and a couple of web apps. That was very interesting. That was very trial by fire as well, because I wasn't actually a pen tester until that point. I was just a SOC analyst. So I moved into pen testing pretty rapidly. So that was good fun. But again, I didn't like the work environment. It was one of those work environments where if you've worked in security, you will soon find out that if security gets in the way of the business, security becomes less. And it's very difficult to make a change into the business if you're too abrasive. And then today I am now working for a company called CyberClan, which I'm a tier 2 SOC analyst there at the moment, but I'm doing more malware analysis and malware reversal. That's a very interesting role. That's quite challenging because we're a completely remote SOC. So it's quite a new work environment. So a lot of our EDR and our SIM tools are remote, our deployments are remote, relying quite a lot of the cloud. That's quite difficult. I do a lot of client calls as well. So your soft skills are very much challenged. If anybody is looking to get into security, I would say that soft skills has played possibly the biggest part of my career to this date. And I'm willing to help anyone with it. And I thought, I have I wanted to make this talk more about community, more about helping people, more about kind of helping people get in and break into the industry. So I've kind of put together Knox's top 10 tips to break into the industry. So if you've got like a notepad, you know, maybe take this down, but if you want me to send you this at the end, just let me know and I will, you know, drop it to you guys. Maybe we could probably pin it in the channel. But tip number one, networking is important. So growing your network in cybersecurity is very important because this allows your efforts to reach more people, and more often than not, the hiring manager. And with this, you can bypass any like ATS filters that it may have. So if the company is using like automatic applicant tracking system, you can use networking to bypass this and get yourself seen by the hiring manager. Number two, study hard, but let people know. So producing write-ups, blogs, videos, that can help draw the right attention to your networking platform. And over time, you're going to build an audience. And this audience is going to allow you to be seen by the right people. Again, helping to, you know, build that network, get yourself seen by the studying manager. Tip number three is study right. Just because somebody else is doing it doesn't mean it's going to be right for you. This requires you to really assess what current level you're at, what current knowledge do you have, and understand that the kind of next step in terms of your study. Number four, foundations make the professional. So every 3 months, I tend to go back over my network studies, over my security fundamental studies, just to keep everything fresh, just to make sure that my knowledge is up to scratch. Because believe it or not, and you will find this out if you look back at it, your more advanced knowledge is built upon your foundation. So keep that fresh, and it's really going to help you go far in your career. Tip number five is always pick your first step correctly. You know, sometimes you may not be able to get to that perfect role, that pen testing role straight away, and you might need to take a different alternative path to get there to your dream role. Lots of people do this, and it may get you into the industry quicker. So that may be something to look at. So if you want to be a pen tester, maybe look at being a junior SOC analyst first and just get yourself into security and build your network up. Point number six is to plan your studies. And I found this is really, really good, especially if you're aiming for a role. So base this on your first step or that role you'd like to go into. Make sure that you plan your studies around them and complete any certifications that is required for that role. So I find that looking at job descriptions really does help identify any requirements to get into that role. So you may look at pen testing in your country and you may need OSCP, CRET, whatever it may be, you may need that. So this can help you kind of align your studies to that perfect role. Tip number seven, make friends with recruiters. A lot of companies don't actually advertise their roles on job boards. They don't advertise their roles on LinkedIn. Normally, they pass them to recruiters to go do the hard work for them. I think I saw a blog before, about 80% of jobs are not actually advertised on job boards, but are passed through recruiters. So if you see a recruiter, introduce yourself to them, you know, send them that friend request on LinkedIn and just get to know them and introduce yourself to them. Because if you get a bit friendly with them, you may be able to get yourself pushed forward. And that's, you know, getting yourself seen. Tip number eight, and this is a very important step. Just applying for jobs is not enough. Jobs are very competitive, and you may have the same certification as most of the applicants. It is the ones that stand out that get hired most of the time. So using your network and the content you post, hiring managers do snoop around, and they may see your profile and see your content above everyone else's. And that can get you into the role. A lot of the roles that I'm applying for now are quite competitive. So a lot of them mention my website, they mention my LinkedIn content, and that helps generate conversation. So it can help them understand and know you better. Number nine is also really important. So most of these are really important, but this one's very important as well. But soft skills are very important. Just because you can root a box does not mean you can tell a client how you did it and how to produce a report. As a pen tester, especially, your report is your product. It's not your testing, it's the product that you produce, which is the report. And your reputation can rest on the quality of your reports. Soft skills are something that not just pen testers, but all aspiring security professionals should invest in, as well as their technical skills. So place an emphasis on soft skills. And number 10, you know, you are going to fail. There's going to be times where you fail, but just make sure that you're comfortable with failing and you can learn from it. You know, it may not be easy at the start, but when you do start to get comfortable with it, you can learn a lot from failure. I think at one point I applied for so many jobs and I just kept failing and failing and failing. And sometimes it's important to ask for feedback just so you can understand, like, where did you fail? Where do you need to improve? And that can really, really bolster your chances of breaking into cybersecurity. Because I didn't actually break into cybersecurity I didn't have a degree. I didn't have a formal education or a higher education. So for me, I took quite an unorthodox route. I was going forward and putting myself out there, asking the questions, just talking to the people that I could have been working with or I could be working with, and just making themselves known to me. So that's just something that I found was being quite upfront really helped me get that kind of visibility that I needed to get into the industry. Once you're in the industry, that's when doors start to open. After about your first year in security, you're there for life. You start to learn a lot more. You start to learn that there's a lot more roles open to you. I just seem to be really comfortable in SOC work, so I always stay there. But I do pen testing as well. So what I do like to do is I do like to do lots of try hack me just to keep my pen testing skills up to scratch. And I'm really, really glad to see that try hack me are bringing in lots of more blue team stuff in there as well. So I'm lots of people that I'm mentoring, I'm throwing towards the try hack me. I'm like, go on, try hack me. The cyber defense path is brilliant. So guys, my tips, I'm going to probably write them up. And if you want me to send them to you, I'll give you the kind of a sheet that I've done. But if you've got any questions, I'm going to start kind of taking them now, just so I can, you know, if people need to know anything, I can try and help you with that. Yes, I am British. So, yeah, go ahead. Give me some questions. I'm watching the channel. Okay, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Probably still a SOC analyst. I don't actually... You know, lots of people going, oh, yeah, no, one day you're probably going to be a CISO. But I don't really want to be in that kind of like high level position of leadership. So probably kind of like a senior SOC analyst, T3 kind of lead role. That's kind of where I see myself. So making a blog where I post walkthroughs will help me get me a job. Yes and no. So the blog where you write your walkthroughs, try and make them quite verbose and try and make sure that you're explaining the points very well so they can see your writing ability. That will help you kind of portray your soft skills to the potential hiring manager. What was it like taking with your friends back to Mordor? Well, I didn't actually go there, but the Hobbits did. So sorry if that's any spoilers for Lord of the Rings, but you should have watched it by now. Could you focus on cybersecurity as a first role? Is it more logical to move to an admin role first, then move career? Yes. So if you can't get into cybersecurity and you're finding it quite difficult, it's not that uncommon to take a different route. Maybe go for junior networking kind of route or sysadmin kind of route. That will allow you to gain some relevant experience that can help you move into cybersecurity. Are you into binary exploitation? Not particularly. More malware analysis, malware reversal. How important are certs if the job in my country don't really look for them? Preparation if you want to work abroad. Again, that comes to studying where you want to go, because let's just say, for example, know, you want to move to, I don't know, let's say you want to move to India. CEH in India is absolutely massive. CEH in the UK is not as massive. So you need to really study where you want to go and understand that they have different requirements to where you are. So you probably need to, again, base your studies around that particular area and see if they do take a prevalence in certifications. That can be found with job descriptions. Job descriptions are a really good source of information on where there is requirements. So they may have a particular emphasis in degrees. So I know America have a very big emphasis on degrees. UK, not so much. So that's something to look out for. Will experience defeat the purpose of bars we set for skills? Is being overqualified helpful with lots of certs? Now, it's a double-edged sword. So being really experienced with lots of certifications is a good thing. But they may be looking for very particular certifications, or they may be looking for somebody with very particular skills, because being a master of lots of different things means you're not going to be, well, you're not really going to be well-versed in these lots of different things, because skill fade happens and you start to get focused in one area. So I'm very focused on the kind of blue team side. So I like to, you know, kind of just focus on one different area. And make sure that I am fully qualified in that area, so I'm hireable in that area. But if you kind of do, like, you know, jump from OSCP to some malware analysis certification, all the way to, you know, blue team certification, someone may have that kind of emphasis on blue team, but you have a lot, all these different certifications everywhere. They may not want that. They may want somebody that's very prevalent in that kind of industry, in that skill set. When you take someone's interview, what's the first thing the interviewee must know and understand? So when I'm interviewing people, one of the things that I really like is passion. So if they have stuff like lots of, like, so, you know, I'm this rank on Try Hack Me, I'm this rank on this, or I've done this extra course, that shows to me that they're passionate about the industry. And that so shows to me that they've got the willingness to learn off their own back. That's something that is quite valuable to a hiring manager, because it says to me that they can work on their own, they can work autonomously, which is really important in the industry. So just say, like, everyone's off sick one day, I know that in the business in good hands, because that analyst can research and learn themselves. So that's one of the things that I look for. Mentoring. You mentioned mentoring. Do you think finding a mentor is a good approach to getting in the industry? Absolutely, because you can use that mentor's connections to help build your own network to the right people. So that mentor may know lots of CISOs that are currently hiring. So if you do have the chance to get yourself a mentor, I recommend it. Can you teach us some British? You know what? I can barely speak British myself. I'm in second year of college and I'm considering a cybersecurity path, but I'm a complete beginner in this area. What's the best way to start? The best way to start is with the foundations. So your networking, your computing, your security fundamentals. Build your foundations first, and another selfless plug here, but Try Hack Me do have some really good rooms. The complete beginner series is a good way to start as well. Where would you recommend gaining a mentor? So there's lots of different platforms out there. One of the ones that I'm a part of quite actively is the Cyber Mentor Dojo. I can leave some details if people want to know more about that. But that's not, just so everyone knows, that's not actually my project. I'm just quite heavily involved with it as a mentor. What are your views on company? I'm not too sure. Sorry, I'm just reading one of the other posts. So I do get this question quite a lot about there being less cybersecurity jobs in India. It's normally the big consultancies that hire in India for the cybersecurity roles. So maybe looking at some of the big consultancies would be a good place to start. I'm 30 years old and an engineering project control manager. I'm looking to get into injury. I've just completed the boot camp in Security Plus. How can I translate my existing skills into cybersecurity? Now, the way I look at this is security is a mindset. Security is, you know, something that we can do, but we don't know that we can do. And I'm going to explain. So let's just say you're a network engineer. You can build a network. You can configure a firewall. You can connect devices to this network. What you don't know is that you know how to do it securely. You know how to connect these devices securely. You know how to configure this firewall securely with best practices. So it's just applying that security mindset to your already gained skills. So if you're a project control manager, you've got people skills, you've got leadership skills, which are very crucial for cybersecurity, I may add, and they are very needed. But you can also look at what you've done and say, how have you done that in a way that increases the security posture of the business, and then translate it that way. That may be a way that you can do it. How should I manage cybersecurity and studies? I am 15. I would say, don't burn yourself out at that age or at any age. Don't burn yourself out. Just take it a bit at a time. You've got plenty of time to do your studies. So just take it very slow. Don't burn yourself out. And remember, sleep is important. So don't find yourself up at night, up at your keyboard at God knows what time. Sleep is very important. What are some good cybersecurity roles that are interesting to you that seem harder to fill because people go to flashy pen testing first? So there is actually a bit of a drought at the senior kind of blue team level. And this is because everyone seems to go from junior SOC to pen testing, and then senior SOC analysts and senior cert analysts are very difficult to come by. And you in the UK, we're seeing now that this kind of senior blue team level, the pay is just going up and up and up because there's such a drought at that level. So maybe look at some senior blue teaming kind of levels and see what they kind of pay in your country, wherever you may be, because there seems to be quite a drought, not just in the UK, but worldwide at the senior blue team level. If I want to get in the computer science field, particularly cybersecurity at the moment, what would be a good foundation to go for a degree? So I'm not too sure about degrees in the UK because I didn't have a degree, but I would always say networking, security fundamentals and computing fundamentals are a really good place to start. So you've got your A plus, your Net plus and your Sec plus. That's going to help you build your foundation. You don't have to take the certifications. You can just do the courses for the knowledge. RSCP versus CEH are first cert for university student. Now, CEH and RSCP are vastly different certifications. So CEH is more comparable to Security Plus. So I would ask the question, what do you want to go into? That should be your kind of guideline on what you want to do. So I would say OSCP, if you want to be a pen tester, that's the certification you want to go for. If you want to be a SOC analyst, CEH is probably more aligned to being a SOC analyst, in my opinion. But it really depends on your country as well, because the CEH may not hold any weight. And in some places, OSCP doesn't hold weight. It really depends on where you are. How can you get someone to give you a chance, even at an interview, if you don't have any relative experience? Networking. Show people what you're made of. Post content that shows your ability and your skills so people can see that. That's a very important thing to do. Certifications are most valuable in your opinion when it comes to binary exploitation and embedded system development with security in mind. I'm not too sure on that, so I do apologize, but I'm sure I could potentially find, I know a very good exploit zero-day developer who may be able to help you with that question, so I could always ask him, so we can connect after this, and I'll get you that information for you. Being a developer and working IT for over 16 years, I am finding it really hard to enter cybersecurity and pen testing since most companies ask for 3 years experience in these specific roles. Is this a broad issue? Yes, it is a broad issue. And I've spoke to many companies in the UK about this, and it's a worldwide problem. Lots of companies don't understand cybersecurity. So what they do is they copy other job descriptions just to get a kind of feel for what's out there. But what they don't realize is that there's people that can do this job. Just don't have that experience, and we're starting to see that kind of gateway drop. So we're starting to see people hire people at the lower levels just based on skills or based on what they know. So it's a very slow process, but it's starting to happen. So you should find that you'd be able to break in a lot easier in the coming years. But if you're having any problems with that, please just let me know, and I will give you my best advice to try and help you with that. Is Security Plus a good start to start with in cybersecurity? Absolutely, really good foundational knowledge. I basically want to go to work. What you're doing right now, malware analysis, reverse engineering, any kind of roadmap you can help out with. So I would say, if you want to go down that kind of role, I would say SOC analyst is the kind of the place where you want to start first. You want to start seeing how people are alerted to these kind of this malware, how they respond to it, how they kind of remediate these problems that are caused by malware, and then branch out from there. In terms of certifications, I'm not too sure what kind of certifications are out there for malware analysis and reverse engineering, but I'm sure there is plenty out there. I think Elearn Security may do some. I'm not too sure. What do you say for those actively applying for roles and positions? As someone like myself who has solely certs and work experience, how should we approach these applications that favor someone with a degree? I've been told over and over from work colleagues that the recruiter is going to weigh someone with the... If the recruiter weighs you over somebody else just because they have a degree, I would potentially say that that recruiter is not doing a very good job, purely because there's lots of recruiters out there that know that just because you have a degree does not actually mean you possess those skills. It just means that you've done a degree in that area. But good recruiters will really know that if you have relevant certifications, you probably will possess the skills that they require. Or if you've done maybe a junior networking role, you will probably know how to secure a network, how to build a network, how to identify vulnerabilities in a network. So the good recruiters will look past this, and the good companies will also look past this kind of requirement. It's just a case of getting yourself known out there. So if you're actively on LinkedIn, start connecting with different recruiters and just getting some feels out there. There's plenty of times where I got turned down because I didn't have a degree. But there's plenty of times where I made it all the way to the end and decided where I didn't want the job because it wasn't for me. It happens. The kind of industry is starting to wake up now to realize that there is a lot more out there than just degree holders. There's this massive pool of talent that they can tap into, and they're starting to do so. Is there a possibility that many remote pen testing roles will become open soon? Now, you won't see pen testing roles commonly at the junior level for remote. So normally for junior levels, they want them to be guided. So they're potentially going to be on-site, so that's going to be very rare, especially given the pandemic. It's going to be even rarer, and they're going to be very competitive as well. I know plenty of recruiters that can help you with that kind of that getting visibility into what kind of roles are available, but I think remote pen testing roles at junior level are, you know, very, very rare indeed. That's why I say to people, maybe take an alternative route for now, especially given the pandemic. Just get yourself in the industry and worry about it a little bit later, or just keep hammering away, you know, meshing recruiters, getting yourself seen. Sorry, apologies for the silence. I'm just trying to read, and my ability to read isn't so good. So... where do I get my information from for malware analysis? I have a senior malware analyst in where I work, and I kind of pester him for stuff. So once I get some more good stuff from him, I'll post it in some of the resources channels. Any idea about the cybersecurity job trend in Australia? Like, what would be the bare minimum qualification to land an entry-level security role? Now, they have a very weird situation over there. I was talking to an Australian recruiter in cybersecurity. So his name was Mitchell Carter. He's really, really good in terms of recruiting for cybersecurity roles in Australia. And I know that they place a heavy emphasis on some certifications. I'm not too sure which one it is. So I may need to clarify with him, but he may be a good contact to reach out to and find out some more information. If you had an opportunity to move to another one of the Five Eyes countries, what would it be? Is Canada part of Five Eyes? I think they are. Canada would probably be the place where I'd want to go. Or America, just because I love food and I love donuts and Pop-Tarts. So there's lots of Pop-Tarts and donuts over there. So that'd probably be my place to go. What do you think of DevSecOps as a beginner? Any tips? I've seen this as a growing field. So DevSecOps, it's not really a field as such. It's more of a strategy, a business strategy, in terms of developing applications securely. Commonly, we find that they claim that they have DevSecOps, but it falls by the wayside very, very quickly. But it is a growing field, and there's lots of people making these DevSecOps roles. If you want to get into that, you probably want to start reading a lot more about it, in terms of lots of businesses have different ideas about what DevSecOps actually is and what they hire for. I would say look around DevOps and see what they're asking for in terms of DevOps, and then try and apply a bit of a security mindset onto that. So maybe get some security certifications as well as doing your DevOps as well. Okay, what would you say? After doing a A-level, a degree in computer science, or specifically undergraduate security, which better one to go for? Better to go for computer science and then master's in cybersecurity, or does a degree even matter? You have things like OSCP. A degree doesn't matter in the UK, to be honest with you. You can find a job pretty easily without a degree. I've seen many people do it. I've seen people even do, like myself, no certifications in security and move over to the industry. It's all about relevant experience as well. So let's just say that you've worked in IT for 4 years, you already know quite a lot about technology at that point, so you're going to be employable in terms of security. It's just about having some certifications to back it up. So Security Plus, maybe if you want to be a pen tester in the UK, CRT, CPSA, OSCP. I sound like I'm doing a rap, but that's where you want to go. That will make you employable. So a degree is not going to get you a pen testing role. Pen testing certifications in the UK are going to get you that pen testing role. Let's see. How can I get a better career in cybersecurity in which uni or college? I would say the better career, there's kind of many ways you can approach it. So yes, you could potentially do a degree and, you know, bolster your credentials, or you can potentially keep doing certifications around your level and big up your network and get a bigger network and then move into other roles because of the people you know. This question, bug bounties. So I don't rate bug bounties at all. I think bug bounties are a way for companies to get cheap labor out and just basically turn around to people and say, hey, look, we couldn't find the bug here. We're not going to pay you. But at the end of the day, bug bounties are a very good experience that you can put on your CV, but I wouldn't waste too much time, you know, spending loads of time finding a bug that you might not, you know, get the payout for, because at the end of the day, that could be used for purely more studying and bolstering your own career and getting that salary, or even, you know, making your own consultancy and actually doing a pen test for that company instead of doing a bug bounty. Because sometimes I don't know what it is about it. I just see something very morally kind of wrong about bug bounties. But if it's something you're doing, please pull it on your CV, because people will want to know about it. Okay, any more questions? As far as getting yourself out there, do you find blogs to be the best option, or are there more creative forms? Yes. So when I tell my mentees to get on LinkedIn, I say make a video introducing yourself to people. This is going to get more views. It's going to let people know what you're about and who you are. Yeah, podcasts are really good as well. I love listening to a good podcast. So when you're trying to get yourself out there, yeah, get creative, get yourself out there. Which college or university did your cybersecurity start with? So I didn't actually go to college or university. I was homeschooled and a little tiny bit of public school here, but I wasn't in any higher education. That's why, you know, I like to give back to people that don't have that kind of opportunity, or they're struggling to break in at that level. Because it is possible, it is very doable, and there's just different ways you've got to go about it. Sorry, I'm just trying to find some more questions. Apologies if I've skipped over your questions. I do apologize. So any tip for beginners to get started? Just get started. You know, just pick up Network Plus, download Packet Tracer, mess around with Packet Tracer for a bit, learn a bit of networking, a bit of computing. That's really going to get you far. Get yourself on TryHackMe, do some rooms. That's really going to push you forward. When I'm in interviews, I love to ask people about their TryHackMe experiences, because for me, that's a talking point. And I get to learn about what that kind of person knows, what they've done. So that's also something to bear in mind. The only I'm just reading your question, Potato. So the only experience you have is CTFs, which don't count. And vulnerable means I'm trying to hack me. They do count. So I always put at the bottom of my CV any CTF that I done and what position I came or rank on TryHackMe or any kind of like completion certificates that you have. But get yourself out there, get yourself on LinkedIn, get yourself known, talk to recruiters, tell them what you've done. Because if the recruiter doesn't know that you've done that, they can't tell the client. Or if it's not on your CV, the person won't know that you've done that. So if you think that it may be relevant, get it on your CV, get yourself known. Any advice for making your CV? So that's going to be more for recruiters in your local area about what the CV should look like, because every kind of different, you know, it depends on where you are. So in the UK, we like to keep the CV relatively short. Anything more than, I think, is about 2 pages, it doesn't get really seen. They don't like long, and no wall text and stuff like that. But again, it depends on where you are and how they like your CV to be formatted. But my kind of rule of thumb is stick it to, is keep it to 2 pages, keep it relevant. If you think it should be in there, put it in there. When recruiters pick the person for a job, is it the most, whoever that has the most certs wins? Absolutely not. Best one wins. As Paul just mentioned there, the best one does win. I've interviewed someone that had OSCP, CISP, they had CEH as well, and they had a degree in cybersecurity, and we didn't pick them purely because they had no soft skills. They weren't able to talk the talk, and it was very difficult to kind of work with them and kind of like get the answers out of them. I mean, we asked them a very basic security question, and they kind of explained it in a very, very long-winded way that didn't make sense in the end. And we had this, the other guy that came in, he had like literally nothing. I think he only had like security plus, and he was brilliant. He was excellent. So we picked them. If there's no more questions, I think it'd be quite a good point to end it there, guys. But I'm going to stick around for a bit. So I might jump into one of the general chat channels or stick around on general chat and answer any further questions. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to TryHackMe for this opportunity to talk. so I'm just reading the chat. But thank you for this opportunity, and thank you, everyone, for attending my talk. I hope it's helped, and I hope you have an easier time breaking into the industry. I really am thankful for this, and thank you all for your support. Have a great evening, morning, or afternoon, wherever you are, and take care.